Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning. The New Orleans Saints win again on Monday Night Football. And around here, speaking of things we see a lot of, Eli Manning apparently is going to be the Giants quarterback for years to come, according to their current head coach. So after another miserable season, coming off a shutout with a quarterback that's making close to $30 million a year, who to most people looks like he's at the end of the road, in the eyes of his head coach, he's got years more. Not just next year because they don't have a good replacement, but years more. At $26, $27 million, why not? Let's just keep throwing them out there because we can't move on because we're hanging on to the past. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. It's kind of interesting where you started and everything. I guess Pat said yesterday, yeah, we got to get a couple more years out of him. I don't know.
Years.
I know. And it's actually $24 million. I think it's 23.5 or 23.9 million or something
well,
like
okay.
that.
Okay, so. You know, I overvalued him there. I'm sorry there, Boomer.
But he's made over almost $250 million, maybe even more than that.
Like I've said before, so, his career earnings is like a Mega Millions jackpot.
It really is. And good for him. I mean, you know, I don't ever begrudge anybody making the money. Somebody's gotta get paid. You might as well go get all of you can.
Absolutely.
So I'm all for that. But I wonder, you know, like when Pat is saying that, does he really know what he's saying or is he just saying it?
Well, what do you mean by that?
I thought he was going to be the perfect head coach for the Giants. Mm-hmm. I'd like to still think that could be the case because I do think he's a very good and solid guy. And I know that he fits the Giant motif and the moniker and everything else. And, you know, he'll look good when they play golf at Wingfoot and all that other stuff. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, this. I don't know if they're watching the same films everybody else is watching. You know, that's the thing. I mean, I looked at Pro Football Focus yesterday. I think they had Eli ranked like 33rd or something out of like 50 quarterbacks or something like that. I mean, and you can't, you know, their second half started out with an interception, then a fumble, and then the game's over, you know, and then it was punt after that. They couldn't get anything done. And I don't want to hear about the offensive line because the offensive line has sprung Saquon Barkley over and over and over again up until this past game. The thing about it is that this past game, they played against a real defense, a real big defensive line. And guess what? They're going to play against a very good defense this week in Indianapolis, a very fast defense, a very young defense, but they're getting after opposing quarterbacks, they're lightning on that turf out there in Indianapolis. So it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out again. So I would say, you know, before Pat goes down this road of, you know, talking about, oh, yeah, the next two years, wait until the next two games. Because you're going to be playing the Cowboys in the final game, and it looks like the Cowboys may have something to play for.
Yeah, I mean, that's my question. So, all right, you get shut out. You didn't have Odell Beckham Jr., but you didn't have the week before, and the offense looked fine. But you didn't have him this past week. Maybe you get him back for one or both of these games. And there was the other news out of the Giants yesterday was they had no plans to shut Odell Beckham Jr. down for the rest of the year because they're out of it now. So if he's healthy, he's going to play. But let's say you've got two more putrid offensive performances that you can now stack on top of the other ones that you had earlier this year. And yeah, the offense played well in a couple of games against some of the worst defenses in football and in a game, against the Washington Redskins, where Mark Sanchez was a starting quarterback who was basically handing the ball over to the Giants the entire game. So, I mean, you really have to, you can throw completion percentage at me, which a lot of people do that are on the Eli Manning side of things. Well, why do you think his completion percentage is up? Because he's not throwing the ball down the field. He's throwing it to Saquon Barkley.
exactly 8 million times a game. I mean, there's just nothing there. There's nothing left. There's a little tiny bit left that people want to say, oh, because it's Eli Manning and because he's had these magical runs in his career that we have to hang on to this. And I don't want to minimize the guy's career achievements, enough is enough.
I think we all should.
Years really, left?
I don't think we all should. I don't think any of us should have to go back down the, you know, I don't want to diminish anything. Nobody's diminishing anything. You're looking at a performance now that has gone on, and the Giants have been one of the worst teams in football when you think about it. If they didn't have their playoff deal 2 years ago,
right?
This would be like, what, 6 or 7 years in a row?
Yeah, I'd like to look where they ranked offensively that year, too. Because, I mean, maybe it's better than I remember, but I don't remember it being something that was earth-shattering, that's for sure. I mean, it's almost like the Giants would rather be right than good now.
If you go back to 2013, 7-9, 6-10, 6-10, then the 11-5 year. They lost the wild card, obviously, at Green Bay, 3-13, and they're 5-9 now. I'm not a Giant fan, so I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, I have all this passion and all this love for everybody. But what I am is that I'm a realist, you know, and you have to be ruthless in the NFL if you want to continue to win. That's all there is to it. And you got to make hard decisions, you know. I Ernie, of course, he made Eli the first pick overall or you know, Phillip Rivers or whatever, and they made the trade and all that stuff. That's great. That's good. That's legacy stuff. That's all fine. It's all fine and dandy. But that was yesteryear. That was a whole other time, and it took Eli a while to really grab hold of the team, by the way, because in 2007, they wanted him and Tom Coughlin both run out of town before they went on that little run.
Right. So that playoff year, the 2016 season, where they went 11-5,
yes.
The Giants offensively, out of 32 teams in the NFL, ranked 26th in both yards and points that year. So you want to tell me that that's a feather in the Eli Manning cap that just a couple of years ago he took a team to the playoffs? They were in the bottom third of the NFL in offense that year. And they had a great defense. They had a great defense that year. They were actually, let's see if I can get that quickly, you know, defensively, they were a top 10 defense. In yards, well, they were 10.
They spent all that money that offseason on Snacks Harrison, on Olivier Vernon, all those guys.
Absolutely. And they all hit. All those guys hit early in that season. They were 10th in yards and 2nd in points that year. So how did they get to the playoffs in 2016?
Well, I'm a team guy, so it takes a little bit of everybody to do a little bit, their bits and parts and all that
stuff. But that disparity there, to me, is striking.
I just think the losing record, you know, 5 out of the last 6 years just speaks more than anything else.
Yeah.
And you've already fired 2 coaches. You fired a general manager. You got a new coach and another general manager in here who was a part of the original general manager in Ernie Corsi. And I don't know what's going on. I really don't. I mean, if I'm a Giant fan, I'm like, what are we doing here, guys?
Yeah.
We're going to continue to spin our wheels.
Well, I feel like 50% or more of the Giants fans are probably happy to hear that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just the loud contingent of Eli supporters that we hear from on Twitter or the phones here, whatever, that are continually bringing up all these positives and believing in him. Like, I don't know. I mean, is it 50-50? Or are there more Eli supporters out there that want him to be the quarterback for next year and the year beyond than I can even imagine? I mean, I don't know. It seems to me like the Giants desperately want to be right about this. They want to be right about not taking a quarterback at the top of the draft. They want to show everybody how talented Saquon Barkley is. And they just want to go down this route because this is what they believed in and screw everybody else. And we're sticking with Eli Manning because Eli Manning's a guy we can trust. Unlike Davis Webb, who's a guy who goes out and runs his mouth on a radio show and we cut him. Unlike Kyle Lauletta, who goes out there and gets arrested and acts like a jerk during a traffic violation. Eli Manning, he doesn't do any of that stuff. And we're going to make sure that we do everything to protect this guy because he has delivered so much to us that it's more important to us to protect him in the final bit of his career, the final years of his career, than it is to make that decision to move forward and to get out of this losing.
You know what's amazing? Everybody talks about accountability, right? Everybody talks about, you know, the coach is going to come in, hold everybody accountable. What do you think the players see? But what do you think that those players feel like watching the same thing over and over and over again. What do you think? Why do you think Odell Beckham Jr. is so frustrated?
Yeah, well, listen, I hated Odell Beckham Jr. going on ESPN and saying the stuff he said, and I don't know if the rest of the players agreed with what he said, but it was clear that he was highly frustrated with what was going on with the offense. I mean, when he said, is Eli Manning, you know, whatever his answer was to that question, like, is it the quarterback? And he's like, I don't know, it's a tough question. Like, I mean, what?
Yeah, well.
I mean, obviously, you know what the answer was to that, and then all the frustration you've seen on the sidelines from all the players, like, I don't know.
So now, the question is what do you do moving forward? You know, what is Gettleman going to try to do here? What is the alternative? Because they obviously do not have the alternative on the roster, as you know, Pat has decided to take apart Kyle Lauletta publicly, but you know, for whatever reason, he's only thrown 5 passes, so he sucks. You know, I mean, that's the way it looks. And you talk about a bad look. That's a bad look. I would just say that, you know, they have got to seriously consider either drafting a kid next year, but that still means you're going to basically frustrate the players that are on the field with the rookie player. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I see some of that with the Jet players. You know, they got frustrated early in the season. They were open. They weren't being hit. You know, Sam's not going through his progressions. Now, I don't see that the last couple games. The last couple games, he's actually standing in there and going through his progressions and throwing it to the right guy and reading it and moving around and not getting nervous in the pocket and things of that nature. But I don't know. I can't imagine Odell Beckham Jr. with a rookie quarterback or a quarterback without some sort of substance attached to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if the Giants, like, let's say this was another quarterback-rich draft and the Giants got their hands on one of those guys, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be, but just for you-know-whats and giggles, and the Giants took one of those guys and had him behind Eli Manning, like we thought maybe Sam Darnold or one of these other guys would be next year, then okay, you can sell to me that Eli Manning's on this roster next year as part of a transition. And he's going to have to deal with that. And he's going to have to answer the questions about being a mentor. And he's going to have to hear the stuff about play the young kid if things struggle. Like, you're just going to have to deal with that. Unfortunately, it's an uncomfortable situation, but just about every quarterback in the history of the league at some point has to deal with that reality that someone else is going to be the quarterback of the team that you have quarterbacked for many years. If you could sell me that, but if you come back next year with a 4th-round pick, a 5th-round pick, Lauletta, Tanny, whoever the hell, then you're just asking for it again. I mean, you're telling me you're going to be able to, in this transitionary period, where the Giants basically said that, you know, by trading off a bunch of guys, we are now, for the rest of this year, not really concerned about our wins and losses, right? It's like we've decided that we're out of this thing. You're going to tell me now you're going to compete with Eli Manning as the quarterback for years to come with the Saints, with the Rams?
Well, I mean, that's what Pat Shurmur said.
How can he believe that?
And the thing about it is that really kind of makes you understand or make you realize where his commentary is coming from. And I think he's saying what he believes the owner wants to hear, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would question his football understanding, because if that were anybody other than Eli Manning, there's no way. If that were Kyle Lauletta playing that way, mm-hmm. What do you think would happen?
Oh, my goodness. He would be trashing him in the press conferences. There'd be, I mean, he already has it. Kyle Lauletta played, what was it? What did you say, 5 snaps?
Whatever it was. He threw the ball 5 times and had an interception right. And no completions.
Right. I mean, so, you know, and he was all over.
It's not the answer. Okay, we know that. So now the question is, really, what is the answer and where do you go? And if you really want to be a good football team, you got to be ruthless. You got to make tough decisions. You got to move on. You just have to. You can. And the other thing too is, if Eli wants to continue to play, fine. He probably needs, like, his brother went and had another, you know, went to Denver. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's okay. It happens. You know, Joe Montana went somewhere else. I mean, you can go somewhere else and get revitalized and reinvigorated if you want, and if there's a team out there that's looking for a guy, you be that guy, that team's stopgap guy. You know what I mean? So the Giants need, I don't know, Nick Foles? Is it Case Keenum if he becomes available? I'm serious.
No, I know. They need a bridge guy that's not going to be around.
They're going to need somebody that's going to have to change.
You know, this is the problem, right? Because, And the scenario that I played out or painted before is the one that I think is the only viable one if you're keeping Eli Manning on the roster is, you know, I'd rather have that young guy in training that you know is going to take over.
It should have happened this year.
Right, it should have happened this year. You should have had that happen, but okay, it didn't happen this year. Now you're at the position now where it's like, okay, we need a young guy in training, and Eli could be here, and Eli could teach you the ways of the Giant quarterback. But, I mean, you're going to tell me now that you're going to bring in Case Keenum or Joe Flacco or one of these guys
to
do the same thing?
Well, here's the thing. Or a guy like Nick Foles. Or a guy, who do you think is the next Alex Smith where you can have him for 4 years and you can still win and still remain relevant and still compete and still keep guys happy?
See, I don't think they'll do that.
I don't know, man.
I mean, you got the coach saying that he's got years left yesterday. They're not going to now jettison him for Joe Flacco.
I don't expect the coach to say anything but what he did say because he has to say it.
Right.
But, man, it just sounds so stupid. It's not even funny.
Right. It really
does. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, let's be real. I mean, isn't that – I mean, we're playing professional sports. Guys are getting paid millions of dollars, and fans are being asked to pay, you know, stupid seat licenses and everything else and sit in the rain and another losing season. You better do something. You better do something, and there's only one thing that truly changes a team, and that's the guy behind center. And if it's not the guy behind center, then it's the guy standing on the sideline, and you've tried that now 3 times.
It's almost like last year with the outcry of the Eli Geno Smith thing that the Giants have decided what the fans want is they want Eli Manning. And as long as we've got that here.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with it either,
but I'm just saying that's what I'm trying to figure out why in the hell.
I think there are some fans, and a lot of fans do love Eli, just like fans love Ben and fans love Philip Rivers from that draft cast. That's all great. That's fine. But at the end of the day, to me, there are more fans that want to move on. I feel, you know, I have very close friends that love the Giants, have the season tickets, do the tailgating. They love Eli. They love Eli, but they're tired of what they're watching on the field.
Right.
And that, you know, the fumble the other day, after they take the ball in the second half and they go down. And unfortunately, you know, Kevin Byard makes a great play and does come off of his guy and makes the interception. But after that interception came the fumble. And then it became 14-0. And then the next 2 series after that, okay, 14-0, we got to regroup, we got to get something, 2 3-and-outs and 2 punts. And I know the weather was horrendous. I know that Saquon Barkley couldn't get going at all. And you know why? Because Mike Vrabel said, there's no way that this team is throwing the ball and beating us.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
Right, which without Odell Beckham Jr., and I will say, without him, it makes it easier to gear up against Saquon Barkley that, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to make you beat us through the air, and they can't do it.
Right, and I agree that, you know, Odell would have been a different, you know, player in that game, just like DeAndre Hopkins was for Houston. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're watching the same thing over and over and over against good teams. I don't know, you know, does Eli throw out, you know, a great game this weekend, and then we'll come back Monday, and they'll say, see, we told you so. Well, that's okay, but the problem is you play 16 of the games.
Right.
You know, you can't have one here, one there, and one there. You got to have, you know, even last night, Drew Brees and Cam Newton were struggling. I mean, there wasn't a lot of point scoring last
Cam
night.
Newton's clearly hurt. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but
it.
I'm just saying they're struggling. You know what I mean? And right. Not everybody's going to score 40 points. And this weekend, by the way, was not a good weekend for quarterbacks, and it was not a good weekend for offense and scoring. As I'm sure many fantasy football players know that.
Yes, right, semifinals or whatever.
But still, you know, those guys are running around all over the place, and Cam Newton's running around all over the place trying to make plays. So you're not always going to have your best game, I know that, but you got to have 12 really, really good games in this league. And we'll give you 4 not so good, maybe 2 of those 4 stinkers. I get it. That happens to everybody. But, man, this has been going on for years and years and years.
Right, and the problem is the conversation doesn't change. So now, you know, probably what's going to happen today is you're going to get a million calls.
Well, you brought it up.
Well, the reason I didn't bring it up, Pat Shurmur brought it up. Okay. Pat Shurmur was the guy who said he's got years left. Well, am I supposed to totally ignore that?
No, but you did bring it up, though.
I brought it up because I thought it was crazy that the head coach said that. But so me bringing it up and us talking about it here doesn't mean it has to be 4 hours of it, right? Because, I mean, it's just the carousel. Is the people who believe in Eli Manning? Is the people that don't?
Well, you know, look, Eli has 112 career losses right now. That's tied second most by a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl era.
Wow. That's one hell of a stat there.
How about
Boomer?
That one, huh?
That is. That is. I wouldn't have thought that, to be honest with you. I guess you played for a long time. You got a bunch of losing seasons on your record. Then that's
and what
what's
it also
happen.
Tells you at the end of the day, he shows up every single week.
He does.
You
know,
so that's something that you can count on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.